Frank with us. City of Highland Park, I'm with you. Gita Newkirk, City Manager. Ramesh Kanapareddy is with us. Manny Gomez from Public Works is with us. I know Alyssa Noble, a council member, is with us. I'm not sure if other council members have joined us. They can text me and I'm happy to announce that they're participating. It sounded like Glencoe Mayor Larry Levin is with us. Is that correct? Or somebody who sounds like Glencoe Mayor Larry. In any case, and then we have several members of the Army Corps of Engineers. And before I even continue, hats off on that amazing McCormick Place alternate care facility you guys put together. That was nothing short of a miracle. We have the East Skokie Drainage District folks with us, Lake County Stormwater Management, Park District of Highland Park. Any other electeds or officials or administrators? I saw Rebecca Grill was on here. Do others want to announce their presence that I've missed? And I apologize for that.
Village of Deerfield.
Village of Deerfield, thank you.
City of Lake Forest.
City of Lake Forest.
Aima.
Okay.
Lake Bluff also.
Super.
And Paul Mazzino from Lake County Emergency Management.
Wonderful, thank you.
And Greg Taylor.
I'm sorry?
Craig Taylor from, I'm getting feedback here, I'm sorry. Craig Taylor, Lake County Board, District 19, and I'm also Chair of the Stormwater Management Commission.
Wonderful to see you, Craig, thank you.
And Greg Claus with Brad Snyder's office.
Thank you. Anybody else, if we could, if you're not speaking, if I could ask every single person on this call to mute their phone or their Zoom, just because even though you feel like you're being quiet, there's a little bit of background noise always going on with this. But once again, I just want to welcome everybody and share our appreciation for both the patience and the passion for resolving this issue. Gita, I don't remember if anybody from Congressman Schneider's office is joining us, but I know we had a report from them that I will track down if we need to share that, if you don't have that handy. And we had an opportunity in January to speak directly with Senators Duckworth and Durbin and shared with them the unbelievable frustration that we're having with this region and the need for funding. They heard us loud and clear. It was with a group of mayors from this area, so they are aware. They obviously have their hands full right now with other things and aren't even in session, but we will continue to remind them that we're here and needing their assistance. With that being said, did you want us to start with the Army Corps updates? Does that make sense? Okay, so Army Corps, if you could share with us sort of the current status, where we are. People have asked a lot about work that you've been doing in Lake Forest and are curious to know when opportunity will be knocking in Highland Park to get some of this work done as well.
Yeah, good evening. This is Steve Fisher, Deputy District Engineer with the Chicago District, and I appreciate you guys holding this forum tonight. It's hopefully this is going to work out smoothly for everybody, and it's some pretty extraordinary times here as we try and accommodate the new norm here, so appreciate that opportunity. With that, Ahmad, if you'd like to walk folks through what you and the group have been working on relative to a planned assistance to states effort, and what that looks like, I think that would be a good way to at least start off on where we're going here tonight.
Sure. Can everybody hear me well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is Ahmad Samara, and I was at the other meeting that we had back in the fall. So since then, we actually have been working primarily with Highland Park and Lake County to come up with maybe a scope that we can do a study that will actually move us forward, come to some flood mitigation plans, come up with things, you know, that we can do to reduce that flooding. And I believe that we kind of have a draft of that scope of work done, and we have a meeting on April 23rd to actually go through the scope and to actually meet with the other communities that actually were in the original planning assistant to state agreement that we had. This study is going to be more focused on specific areas and really looking at that whole area and try to figure out what's happening, what some of the things that can be done. The first TAS, and I know we had a lot of discussion on that in the other meeting about the benefit cost ratio and the economics, and this study that we are going to be working with Highland Park, and we're hoping to be working with Lake County, Lake Forest, East Coquille River Drainage District, and Deerfield, if they have specific areas that we can go into those areas, do a little, try to find out everything, what's happening, and try to come up solutions for each of those areas. So we're hoping that this approach is gonna get us to at least a way to get us to a plan to show what can be done to reduce and mitigate flooding. Steve?
No, I think you hit on the key points there, Maude, right? So we're going to model this after something we've done in Cook County as well, right?
So yes, absolutely. Yes. We had seven communities in Cook County that we actually worked on a similar scope of work, and we were able to go there and find. And the thing about it is, this is only an authority that would allow us to come up with solutions. And really, the other important part is the solution cost too, because people, you know, all these communities want to know how much the solution will cost. So.
And I think more importantly, to build upon that, as well as it's not necessarily what it's looking at all potential solutions. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a federal solution. It can be local, it could be state, or a combination of the above. So I think it gives us a little more latitude to truly explore what those issues are and then come up with some solutions and then how we might want to approach to tackle and implement those ultimately.
So one question that I have, last time we met, there was a discussion about amending section 219 so that Lake County could access funds within that program. And that was the email from Congressman Schneider's office that I was looking for. Does that work with what you're trying to achieve in terms of providing funding, or is that for other agencies' work?
Yeah, so the section 219 would be a totally independent effort. What Ahmad was talking about is actually doing a study to try and assess where those impacts are. Section 219 is related to environmental infrastructure. So what that ask would be, what I'm assuming your ask of Congressman Schneider is, to have language inserted to give you the authority to have funds brought in, and then we've shared some similar or some draft language of what that might look like. And knowing that the WERDA bill is trying to be worked through Congress at the moment, the timing is right for that. You just need to have the champion in Congress to move that forward for you. But again, if they want to request some drafting service from us, we can easily do that. They just need to work through that process. But Ahmad, I think we've shared some of the language already too on what that might look like. Over.
Yeah.
And Mayor, this is Greg Claus from Congressman Brad Schneider's office. I'm happy to follow up on the section.
Greg, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. We were looking at your email. And for those who aren't familiar with the acronym, WERDA is the Water Resources Development Act. But Greg, if you want to chime in both regarding that and also with the hazard mitigation grant conversation, if this is the appropriate time, and if it's not, obviously later in the call.
Sure. So in section 219, To amend it to include Lake County, the congressman has drafted that resolution. He's actually testified before the House Ways, House Transportation Infrastructure Committee. He's not directly sitting on the committee, so he was invited to testify about infrastructure improvements, and this is one of them that would have a major impact on the district. He is championing it along with Senators Duckworth and Durbin, who there's a companion WERDA reauthorization bill moving in the Senate. I think there's some downstate counties also trying to get added to the Senate bill. The reauthorization actually has not yet happened. It's basically been put on hold. The committee, the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, knows this amendment is there. And once there's a markup, there'll be a chance for added discussion on it. So like a lot of things in Congress now, it's a bit on pause. Section 219 and the Army Corps can correct or expand on this. It's similar to other sections of WERDA that have different authorities that Army Corps can utilize for the appropriate project that meets the correct cost-benefit ratio and is found to be a significant improvement for the community.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the Army Corps at this point? Ramesh, anything you'd like to add to what they've been saying?
Thanks, Mayor. I know that we talked to both Imad and his team on that original PAS study. You know, we last time we said that, you know, we still need to not put that in the back burner, but rather keep that thing alive. I know that we're going to look at the targeted approach with this new study, but ultimately, we know that this targeted study will not provide the relief that we need because, you know, because it's more of a subdivision related targeted study, and our, at least in Highland Park, majority of the flooding is mainly like river, you know, channel related. And so that's why, like, so some of the discussions we're going to have is to see what, you know, if we can get some updated numbers on those cost benefit analysis to again get in the queue for the regional study, because at the end of the day, you know, from north to south, you got to have a regional approach to address this you know, riverine flooding. So that is our hope, that, you know, that we'll continue to have that dialogue open or keep those discussions open, because in the long run, that is the solution that will provide relief to, you know, all the Lake County communities.
I've got a question. Whoops.
Sorry. Question is for the Army Corps and maybe for Greg, is on the stimulus money that's happening, do you see any possibilities for use of that in these situations?
When people speak, if you could state your name and your agency or your town, just because we have about 50 people listening in via phone. So that was Mike Warner from Stormwater Management Commission of Lake County. Thank you.
This is Greg with Congressman Schneider's office. I'm happy to take that question. So I would say there's a lot of things on the table. It's not an emergent need in the next bill that's being considered now, which is now, I guess, the third and a half COVID economic stimulus bill. That's probably gonna focus mostly on hospitals, small businesses, and state and local government. I think there is a plan for a fourth bill that would include infrastructure, and there's a desire for that to include green infrastructure. So stormwater management would certainly be a part of that.
Hello, this is Mary Beth Arzak. I'm a citizen of Highland Park, and I would like to know a bit more about your April 23rd meeting and draft report. Are those open to the public and available for the public to view, or can you give more details on that?
No, thank you for asking that question. I think our plan, I'll answer that question. I'll keep a note. I think we're going to do the, we're going to have all the agencies provide an update, and then we're going to open up for Q&A. And we will answer all the residents' questions. Also, please email them if you can in the interim. We are keeping a tab on the email too, publicworks@cityhpil.com, and we will answer that. So we will answer your question at the end of the meeting.
Thank you. East Skokie Drainage District, if you could provide an update. Who is here with East Skokie?
Yes, I'm here. I'm not sure if my colleagues are here, but I can try to do my best just to give an idea of where we're at. We are in the final stages, I would say, of our stream embankment project that's beginning in the south of Lake Forest. And we are about a few weeks away from receiving proposals from various contractors that we are looking for submittals for the project. And just to give a little background on that, this portion of the stream enhancement for the East Skokie drainage ditch has been something in the works now for the past year and a half or so. It's been a very arduous process to get where we've gotten right now, but we've gotten the Army Corps' blessing, of course, and we have taken their blessing and moved as fast as possible now to get to the next phase of the project. The phase, again, is can be broken down into two rather large pieces, the south and the north portions of the drainage canal through Lake Forest. And so we have, well, we really can't make details readily available yet in terms of the number of submissions we've received yet from various entities that have the kind of background expertise that we're looking for to submit their proposals. We will review them and then send it out to bid at that point. But so this is something that's starting to pick up steam finally. It's been a long, like I said, a long process to get all the permits and whatnot and the approvals in order, and we have them now. So we are hopeful to get going probably as early as possible. Probably in the next couple of months, hopefully, that we dig ground for the first phase, that is. And it's a rather involved phase. I don't want to sugarcoat the timing on these things. I mean, these are big projects. They take a considerable amount of time, but that's where we're at right now. And so I would say hopefully we break ground, like I said, the next up 2 to 3 months, I believe, is our timetable in the south end of Lake Forest. Are there any other questions about that?
This is Rosemary Spirgana from Highland Park. I just wanted to say that they had really did a nice job of cleaning up along Trailway on the Skokie drainage ditch, and I wanted to recognize that. I had brought it up at the last meeting, and they really helped remove a lot of branches and stuff and debris that was clogging it up. So I just wanted to recognize that they did a great job there.
Thank you.
I appreciate the feedback. We really do try to be really attentive.
Lake County Stormwater Management, do you want to?
Mayor, before we go on, can I also put a plug in for Commissioner Todd Needleman?
Absolutely.
So Commissioner Needleman has been very, very proactive. You know, we met multiple times, and as the resident, Ms. Rosemary said, I think, you know, Todd took the initiative to have East Coquitlam Drainage District have those, you know, those river channels cleared up. He's been very, very active. And also, Todd's going to work with Highland Park again to on that stream restoration project to move it further south. It is going to be a long process. Commissioner knows that, and I think City of Highland Park, and hopefully we'll partner with some other agencies to have that bank restoration project move southwards, and then, you know, again work with East Coquitlam and Lake County Stormwater Management and other agencies on making that happen. So it's a start. It's a few years out, but it's a start. So thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Ramesh. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Lake County Stormwater Management.
Hi, Mayor. It's Paul Frank from Lake County Board. I'm just going to introduce a couple of our team members briefly. Ramesh, you stole my words. I just want to thank Mr. Needleman, a neighbor and citizen volunteer, for stepping up and serving on the East Skokie Drainage District along with the other citizen volunteers on that board. Thanks for everything you're doing for us. I want to underscore on behalf of the County Board and the Stormwater Management Commission our appreciation to the mayor for convening the conversation. The mission of the Stormwater Management Commission, which is a subdivision of Lake County, is flood damage mitigation, and we've utilized a lot of those approaches to address the problems, and are focusing a lot of attention and resources on the issues in Highland Park specifically lately. I want to thank the SMC chairman, and that's County Board Member Craig Taylor, who's with us tonight. Craig represents an area on the county board that's about 15, 20 miles due west of us. You know, Barrington, Long Grove, a few other communities, but he's been a strong advocate for increasing the amount of resources that the county dedicates to some of these projects. And he's the main reason why we were able to double funding for stormwater management in our county budget last year. And some of those funds have definitely made their way to projects and buyouts in Highland Park. So thanks again to our commission staff for being here tonight. I just want to ask Mike Warner, our director, to give an overview of some of the projects.
Thanks, Paul. It's Mike Warner with Stormwater Management. I'm going to go just on a couple things, and then I'm going to pass it off real quickly to a few other staff that are on the call. And just as Paul had mentioned, we have a large effort and many staff that are employed that are working on issues on Skokie River upstream of Highland Park and within Highland Park. One of the things that we're working on is the flood alert and flood response capabilities. And some of it's tied to a United States Geological Service river gauge that's at the Clavey Road Bridge. And we've worked with them. It may seem kind of a small task, but it can mean a lot with regard to the residents being alerted with regard to change in flood heights. So we've worked with them to upgrade some of their technology to have a quicker reporting period so that when rain does hit, there's some smartphone apps, and there's also online notifications that can be sent to a resident to alert them that the river is rising, you know, and to take appropriate action. Also, at the executive board, I want to thank Craig and Paul. We've taken quite a number of actions. The most recent was in the middle of the pandemic here about 2 weeks ago on April 2nd. We approved two intergovernmental agreements with the City of Highland Park, so we're moving forward on those. And also on channel conveyance, we are supporting the East Skokie Drainage District work, and also we know how important it is to remove debris out of the channel so it doesn't clog up the culverts and cause localized flooding. So that's an important aspect. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kurt Wolford, our chief engineer.
Hello, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Great. All right, so Mike did my introduction. I'm Kurt Wolford with SMC, and I just want to give you an overview of some of the projects to the north, upstream of Highland Park. So the Skokie River, the entire watershed, it's about 10 miles from Old Elm Road, so the northern corporate limit of Highland Park, where the Skokie River enters Highland Park. You follow the river pretty much north, a little bit northwest. It's a straight shot about 10 miles up into the Gurnee area. And Grand Avenue and Green Bay Road, if you've been up to that corner up there, that's the headwater. So if you're standing kind of right by Green Bay Road and Grand Avenue, that's where everything begins. And so the flooding that occurs in the watershed, it's been known, it's been studied. It's a very urbanized watershed, and development kind of occurred in this watershed prior to a lot of the flood maps being available. So as you go further west in the county, there's a lot more open space, green space, and flood mitigation to handle those flows. But the closer you get to the lake, these areas were already more densely populated without any type of regulations from the past. So the study that we used as a planning tool, that was developed in the early 2000s, and that looked at a lot of different sites in the Skokie River watershed of where storage could be located. And the result of that study determined that you just can't build one large basin to alleviate the flooding in the watershed. It's a very narrow watershed, and the way to really mitigate and alleviate flood damages is you have to find these flood storage areas in a decentralized location, just wherever you can find them up along the river in these what we call decentralized nodes. And we had that study performed, and that was our planning tool. It identified these sites where we could provide flood storage and work with local units of government, work with private entities, different property owners to implement these flood storage projects. So I'll just cover a few of them that we're working on right now. And these flood projects not only provide flood storage, they're multi-objective. So the benefits that we try to implement with these projects, they include other benefits such as water quality treatment, wetland functions, wetland habitat, and instead of putting water into a hard pipe, we like to put it into a vegetated channel, and that vegetation allows the water to infiltrate into the ground, the plants soak it up, it cleans the water, so the resulting water that comes down south to Highland Park would be less because we're trying to take it out of the pipe. And so the first project I'll cover is at the north end of the watershed up near Washington Street and 120. And if you've driven down 120, you've probably seen the large radio tower. That's WXLC radio station. So right behind there, there's a large wetland complex that we call Dady Slough. And so the Dady Slough project, it's a very large complex that we lowered the water level to provide additional flood storage in that area. That's been done, that's been performed, and we're currently working on some conveyance improvements to also alleviate flooding in that area. That's currently underway as far as the design goes, and then a future phase of that project will include additional flood storage. So we want to excavate out a large amount of storage to provide additional flood volume in that area. Then working south, you go through Greenbelt Forest Preserve, and then there's Pulaski Drive. To the south of Pulaski Drive, there was a 48-inch drain tile, and that was the river. The river went through a failing 48-inch clay tile, probably 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And we worked with the East Skokie Drainage District, the City of North Chicago, Department of Transportation to remove and daylight. And we do this in some other areas. So when we refer to daylighting means getting it out of the pipe and getting into a channel. And the channel, like I referred to earlier, not only does it provide water quality treatment and reduces the volumes, but that large channel acts as a on-stream storage area as well. So there's a lot more flood storage when we can get the river back into a channel. Then moving further south, you get down to Martin Luther King Drive in North Chicago. We worked with ComEd to help them protect their substation with a flood wall. And then in conjunction with that project, there was another daylighting project where we removed the river from a pipe and put it into a channel. And just on the south side of Martin Luther King Drive, we have another group of parcels that was identified in this study to put flood storage. And we call those the Jamie properties. And the Jamie properties have multiple phases. We're done with the first two phases. We're currently working on the fourth phase. I'm sorry, we're working on the third phase. And then we have a future fourth phase. And that project will provide flood storage, wetland mitigation, water quality. It's one of those multi-objective basins. But what it does help out with is the water is allowed to flood and store, and water still does drain down river, but hopefully it knocks down the volume of water. And then finally, the other project that we're actively working on, it's a high priority project, is what we refer to as the strawberry condos. And the strawberry condos is one component of a larger regional effort for Route 41 and Route 137. So if you know where the Great Lakes Naval Station is, it's just on the west side there. And the strawberry condos are in a very poor location. They have lots of flooding. In 2014, they had 54 units that took on first floor damages. And then in the last rain event in 2017, they had significant flooding. But we've been making progress on that one. And that's a large regional effort, much like the Highland Park one is. So up north in North Chicago, we worked with the City of North Chicago. We included the Illinois Tollway Authority, IDOT, ComEd, the Union Pacific Railway, East Skokie Drainage District was a partner there, and also the Naval Station Great Lakes. So we've been successful. We can't do it alone. It takes this partnership approach. And when everyone understands what the problems are and who needs to take care of what, we've been successful in the northern part of the watershed, and we think we can also, you know, have the same approach in Highland Park and anywhere else in the county. That's those are the projects I wanted to introduce. And Mike, who's next?
I believe Ashley and or Mike Priscilla are next.
Yes, this is Ashley Strelchuk. I'm a water resource professional with Lake County SMC. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I will keep this brief. I just wanted to add on to what Todd has mentioned earlier with the East Skokie Drainage District Stream Bank Stabilization Project. East Skokie Drainage District is partnering with SMC on this Stream Bank Stabilization Project. It's roughly 5,075 linear feet along the Skokie River, and that includes both the east and west banks. And that project is happening in Lake Forest between Old Elm and Wesley Road, which is immediately upstream of the City of Highland Park. So some benefits there. It'll be a variety of best management practices used to stabilize those slopes. And so that's pretty important because there's a lot of areas or sections of the Skokie River identified in that section as highly eroded. So this is the first step to reducing, you know, that sedimentation, not only at the project, but downstream, which includes Highland Park. So that will be very beneficial for the city as well. Like I said, currently, you know, a lot of those sections are considered severely eroded. And so by stabilizing this section of the stream, we can stop the source of where the erosion and sedimentation is happening. There are other alternatives, but this is definitely considered a first step in reducing that sedimentation and getting a handle on some of the problems before going to other alternatives. So, and I think Todd mentioned it earlier, you know, he mentioned stage. This is a phased approach. I believe Ramesh mentioned it as well, that, you know, this is going to take some time. This is, you know, it's a very expensive process. So they're doing it in phased sections for what they can afford. It should be a really great project. Another thing is East Skokie, the City of Highland Park, and SEC have been coordinating to, like Mike Warner said, clear obstructions from channels and culverts to help reduce flooding. The initial work will benefit the Taylor and Hillary area along the Skokie River. So that could be a pretty good project as well. Is there any additional questions for me, or are we waiting until the end for that?
We're waiting until the end.
Okay.
Sharon's next.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Mm-hmm.
This is Sharon, and I'm a water resource professional with Lake Stormwater Management, and I'm here to bring you an update on the progress we've had with buyouts in Highland Park. Since about October of 2019, SMC has been awarded $7.3 million in funding from state and federal agencies for buyouts. And of that funding, 44% of it, or $33.2 million, goes towards Highland Park acquisitions alone. So that's a really good chunk of money. That will help us acquire 8 properties in Highland Park. 4 of them have been acquired to date, 1 in February and 3 in March. And we have 4 more properties that we look to acquire over the next few months. So we're still continuing to buy out properties and managing this during this crisis, this COVID crisis. And there are other residents interested in the buyout program that we have queued up, and we've evaluated 19 properties and prioritized them. And those prioritizations are based on what the state and federal program requirements are and the availability of funding. But SMC continues to pursue funding for any of these voluntary buyout properties. Sometimes it can just take a little long, but we keep working at it.
That's the SMC report. So we'd be happy to answer questions at the end.
Terrific, Mike. And it's always appreciated to hear with the great technical detail that your team brings to these conversations. I think it just helps people understand that it's not as easy as just dig a giant ditch and everything will be well, that there's so much more that goes into these decisions, both in terms of the engineering, in terms of the hydrology, in terms of the funding that's needed, in terms of the many jurisdictions that are involved. There is a whole lot that goes into this, and truly appreciate all that your team has been doing, and always appreciate your reports. So thank you. I wanted to ask our state rep and our state senator if they had any points that they wanted to add to the conversation. They're coming at it obviously from a different standpoint. And I don't know if we have anybody from IDNR on the conversation tonight.
Nancy, this is Julie Morrison, and I'm happy to kind of start. You know, we had a really good meeting in the fall. Bob Morgan, the state representative, and I met a couple different times with SMC in particular. We don't have the engineering capability at the state level here locally to do the work that they do and to really understand the best way to use funds. This winter, I applied for some significant funding for Highland Park through our capital bill. And then the coronavirus landed in our laps. We haven't been to Springfield, as I'm sure you all know, in several weeks. We're not sure when we're going back. We will be doing a budget. I was out on conference call today with some folks in Springfield talking about the budget. And I reiterated that this is a significant need that I want for our district. We're not going to know what that looks like until the bill is actually presented, which could be even in June. Bob, do you want to add anything?
Sure. Everyone, State Representative Bob Morgan. Hope everyone is well and your families are well. As Julie mentioned, we have been, both the two of us have been working for months on advocating for and doing our best to secure state funds, capital funds, other resources to support all the efforts you just heard about, because it really is, everyone has to be all in and supporting this initiative resource-wise. And so we've been working on those issues. And as Julie noted, it's been a good 7 weeks or so since we've been back to Springfield. And ordinarily we would be there every week working on these issues. And this would certainly be for at the forefront. So the two of us are absolutely committed to working through this and working on behalf of Highland Park and the community, trying to get more funds for this. The future is certainly uncertain. You might have seen today, the governor announced how we're several billion dollars short just this year. And we expect year it will be at least two or three times that. So we're going to have some significant fiscal challenges, but the two of us will continue to do everything that we possibly can.
Thank you. And I'm going to call on both of you for your assistance in terms of helping us cross multi-jurisdictional boundaries. Since we last met, I've been named the Lake County representative to the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, which is the Chicago and the Collar Counties sort of overarching agency for planning. And I, every time we meet, I raise flooding in Lake County. I'm going to be known as Flooding in Lake County and not have a real name after this is all said and done, because that's all I talk about at these meetings. But they just provided significant funds to the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District and proudly showed a very large map at the meeting. And I explained to them that that straight line across the top wasn't where the water stopped or started, but was actually the beginning of Lake County, and that we need to do something across all of the districts. So whatever you can do in terms of helping with multi-jurisdictional capital assistance and highlighting, since both counties are in your districts, that they need to look at us not just as a separate universe, but part of the same region, it would be tremendously appreciated.
Absolutely.
So, got it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kurt, did you want to talk about the water levels in Lake Michigan? That's sort of separate and apart from the concerns of the majority of this group, but it does also play into the larger conversation of what we're doing with too much water in our area.
Yes, sure. So I have some notes here. These are all public information, facts, and details that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has on their website and also NOAA. So this isn't information that is coming from SMC, but it is available out there on these different websites. Just running through briefly, March of 2020 set a new record high for the month. And everyone knows the water levels are up. The water levels are up for the entire Great Lakes system. And Lake Michigan has to drain through Lake Huron and down the line. So all the waters are high. For Lake Michigan, right now we're in the seasonal rise. So water is expected to even rise even higher. The prediction from last month was that it would rise about 3 or 4 inches, and that was true. It came up about 3.2 inches. The projection for next month, a month from now, is that it's going to go up another 4 inches. And some of their longer term projections for this summer, depending on how much precipitation we get, the potential lake level might go up another 10 inches. And, you know, these are not accurate numbers, but if it does go up 10 inches, that would exceed the all-time record high, which was back in October of 1986. So we're right now about 8 inches shy of that level. The water levels will probably continue to rise as the northern areas, all the snow melt and additional precipitation in our area contribute to the lake. The statistics or the data shows that overall in 2019, the Great Lakes was the wettest 12-month, the wettest 24-month, the wettest 48-month, the wettest 60-month period in 120 years of Great Lakes water level data. On an average five-year period, the total precipitation into the Great Lakes is around 148 inches. But our five-year period is 180 inches, which is an extra 30 inches of precipitation, almost a full year's worth of precip in the Great Lakes. So the water levels are high, and they are cyclical. So if you look at the last 100 years of data, there's periods where the lake levels are low, there's periods where they're high. And if you just not go too far back into the late 90s, from the late 90s to about 2013, that was a period of a continuous 15-year period where lake levels were really low. And people were very worried about their harbors and getting boats in and out. So it does go up and down. What's hard to project, though, is when will this cycle of high water return to a low level? And other resources and other data sources are kind of pointing in the direction that the upper Midwest, our area, when you're looking at a national scale, our upper Midwest area is going to receive the largest increase in precipitation when you look at the rest of the United States. So that's kind of the trend that we're watching. You know, we had the storm last year with the high winds. So when the lake levels are very high and you couple that with winds and other storms, we have problems. So it's not just a problem affecting the Lake County area. It's all across the Great Lakes. And majority of the flooding that SMC focuses on is riverine and depressional. That causes the largest amount of flood damage in our county. But, you know, the entire east end of Lake County is Lake Michigan. It's a coast. So we need to, you know, pay attention with the communities and reach out and ensure that Paul Mazzino's on the phone right now. I can see his name. So Paul's very busy with the COVID-19 emergency response, but thanks, Paul, for attending this meeting. I know we'll be talking again once we get out of this COVID situation. And there's Paul. So I just want to give him a shout out and happy to answer any questions on the Great Lakes.
Thanks, Kurt, for that update. So just everybody, I'm Ramesh from Public Works, Highland Park. So Kurt, just to give a reference point, you know, for all the callers who are listening in, you know, what is like the normal level of Lake Michigan? And then right now it's like five and a half feet above. So just put like a reference point so that, you know, people can correlate what is the average or the normal and where is it right now?
Yeah, so normal water level is, well, it ranges through the year, but I'd say around 578.5. And right now we're at 581.7, so about 3 feet higher than average. And it might go up another 8 or 10 inches. So it does fluctuate. And so that average is based on these periods and cycles of high water and low water. But yeah, we're definitely in the higher end of the lake levels, and that's across all of the Great Lakes.
Thank you.
Ramesh, do you want to give a quick report on the City of Highland Park stormwater management projects and so forth?
I will, Mayor. Thank you. Again, my name is Ramesh Kanapredi. I'm with Public Works, Highland Park. As you have heard from various entities and agencies, you know, we are all working collaboratively on various regional projects and also locally, just within the City of Highland Park. You know, we are also taking on a few projects. I'll name a few of them, and then at the end of the day, then we can answer any questions. Some of the big ones are what Kurt mentioned from SMC and then Mike Warner and other agencies is the stormwater improvements. As most of you know, They came up with a new Bulletin 75, they call it now, which is a revised model or the revised data to use for future stormwater designs. The last design was done sometime in like 1970s. At that time, the 24-hour rainfall event was around 6 inches. The new data says that it's close to 8.5. So basically a 30% increase in the frequency and the amount of rainfall. So all the storm sewers that we are designing in Highland Park, starting last year, we are following this Bulletin 75. So city designs for a 10-year storm event. So we are designing on this for this uptake in the pipe sizes. So some of the pipe sizes are larger. Of course, the cost of the projects go higher because we have to account for this additional rainfall that the state's water survey recently released. So all the municipalities will be moving forward, adopting this new guideline. Again, it's a step in the forward direction. Again, helps with the storage. On those stormwater projects, city right now plans budgeted around $18 million for the next 10 years on storm sewer projects. Some of the projects also entail the buyout program. We are very thankful and grateful to SMC, Sharon especially. She coordinates on behalf of all these buyout programs. She responds right away, and then she really answers all the calls. So this buyout program, as she mentioned, it's a process. Not all properties qualify, but there is a process to go through that. And then we work closely with them to get these properties buyout. And the way the buyout works is once SMC gets funded by FEMA or IDNR and they close on the project, they demolish the project, and that house is removed and nothing else can be built in that house. So it provides a grassy area to absorb any future flooding or any future water that comes on that property. So it's a benefit that you're reducing, you're taking away impervious area. So overall, the buyout program is one of the arms that you can use to address flood mitigation. City, along with upsizing our storm sewers, city in the last 2 years also have been doing these backflow preventers. So these are backflow preventers are a type of devices we are including on our storm sewer projects close to the riverine. So last year we did Tanglewood Court, and this year we are doing Taylor and Perennial. It provides during a low flow event where we know that some of these streets get immediately overtopped due to flooding. These backflow preventers help provide that relief for a shorter duration. So I don't want to give any hope that this is for a floodplain, but for a shorter rain event, these backflow preventers does provide a huge benefit. So we are installing as we are looking at any projects next to the river. Our goal is to do these backflow preventers on our storm sewer project. Other project that we are also undertaking right now, we are doing the design, is to do look at the Highlands area, which is north of Half Day Road, is to look at, we have like close to like 20 outfalls on both east and west side of those river in that area. We are looking to strategically place some of these backflow preventers in that area. We are doing the study, and then as part of our budget process, we plan to include those. So that will provide some relief to, again, during low flow events, it'll provide some relief to those area. In addition, we are working with East Skokie Drainage District. And again, SMC has been great help in cost sharing some of those debris cleanup. The Skokie River conveyance cleanup that was done by Hillary, Taylor, Perennial, and Deerfield Road really helped that area. SMC was very generous in cost sharing on that cleanup project, and also on some of these backflow preventer projects. So they're partially funded some of these projects, and it is our hope that we continue to do these projects in the future. The last item that I like to mention is the voluntary cost share. So these are localized for individual homeowners. We have a voluntary sewer lateral cost share program. What it does is, like, if a homeowner wants to install some kind of a check valve or a overhead sewer system in their property, city does provide up to $1,260 as a cost share measure. It's an 80-20 split. City does provide those. And over the past 5 years, I would say, you know, close to 30 homes have taken advantage of this program. Again, another mechanism that city provides to all the residents of Highland Park. If you have any concerns with flooding or want us to take a look at your system and all, please call Public Works, 847-432-0807, or publicworks@cityhpil.com. In addition, on our website at cityhpil.com/flooding, we have all the information that SMC, Army Corps, all the planning reports that we have done in the past, all that information, including can we open the weir gate at Botanic Garden, those answers are also provided. So it's a lot of information. Again, if some of that information is overwhelming, please call us or email us and we will address those.
Please restate, there is no gate at the Botanic Gardens for us to open.
That is correct. So, you know, if there are no, as Kurt mentioned, it's an open channel flow. It flows from north for Skokie River. Once it crosses Lake Cook Road, it goes to Chicago Botanic Garden. Through there, it goes to Skokie Lagoons, and then continues down south. And then all these three branches of Chicago River merges into one river, and ultimately they drain, they keep going to the Calumet River, and it keeps going south. So there is no mechanism, or there is no locks on Skokie River or Middle Fork. It is a free flowing gravity channel from north to south.
There's no button, no special button.
There's no special button.
Much as I wish there were. So Ramesh, have you received questions on the email from folks?
Yes. Not many on my end, Mayor, but I'll answer that one question one resident asked regarding the April 23rd. That is an internal meeting with the Army Corps. We are, Army Corps, as Imad and Steve mentioned, it's a rain-ready targeted program. From our perspective, I think as Mayor mentioned and Gita mentioned, for us, the flood areas are, most of them are concentrated along the rivers. So those are the neighborhoods that we are going to include in our study. And these areas were developed pre-floodplain ordinance development and pre-storm sewer regulations. So our goal will be to concentrate on those areas and develop a scope and then come up with some, as Imad mentioned, come up with some solutions. And then the second part will be the funding. And that's where, you know, we'll work with the state and the federal agencies to provide that benefit.
And Gita, do you have any questions that you've received?
Mayor, we have not. We received one question earlier today. We responded to it. It was about the voluntary program that Ramesh described. And we asked the resident if she wanted us to read her question at the meeting, and she did not. We received nothing else further.
We have about 15 minutes left. If people who are on here would like to pose questions, and I ask that in the interest of time, you try to keep your question to 2 minutes, but open for any kind of public input if people have thoughts they'd like to share or questions. And if you could state your name if you do have a question. I'll ask a question while we're waiting. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Mary Beth Arzak, a citizen in Highland Park. Are we able to make any predictions given the higher water levels in Lake Michigan, how that will affect us for this coming rainy season?
Thank you for that question. So for Highland Park, there are other agencies who can respond. For Highland Park, the Lake Michigan watershed, so if you take Green Bay Road, all the homes east of Green Bay Road drains towards Lake Michigan. And west of Green Bay and east of Ridge Road, they all drain to Skokie River. And then west of Skokie River, they drain to Middle Fork. So the higher water level In terms of flooding, those are two separate things. The higher water level on Lake Michigan has an impact on bluff erosion and ravine erosion. So those are something that we have observed in Highland Park and also all along the coastline on some of those erosion, because as the levels are coming up, they call the toe protection. So those toe protection, which are at the bottom of the bluff, they either get washed away or they started getting eroded. And once the toe of a slope starts eroding, the weight of the top above it starts falling down. So we have seen more of those effects rather than having an impact on the river, riverine for those high water levels.
But it's not likely that because there's so much more water in the lake, there will be more rain coming, I think was the question.
That is correct. I know there might be some NOAA scientists, but the typically, you know, the Lake Michigan, the higher water level, there is evapotranspiration. So usually 30% goes. So it all depends on the rainfall that we get. So that is correct. Okay.
Thank you. Other questions from residents? So I'm wondering, Army Corps and Stormwater Management and East Skokie Drainage Crowd, given resources being redirected to address this public health emergency that we're in, and Lake County as well, you know, is there going to be momentum still with some of these capital projects, or is everything on hold? And if everything is on hold, is it a timeline out to what point? And maybe I'm asking a question that really needs a crystal ball, but I thought I would throw that out there. Because you've got some great projects in process, and so curious to know if they're still moving ahead or where we are.
I can speak for Stormwater Management. This is Mike Warner, the director. And I would, you know, before we received the increased funding last year, our business model was to cross share with local partners and reach out to state and federal grant programs. And we were fairly successful for a dozen years. Last year was a very welcome introduction of new capital funding from the county, but there will definitely be a economic impact due to COVID and reduction of revenues due to various sources of revenue. So, you know, we're well accustomed to looking at other sources of funding, any or all sources of funding at the state and federal level. And there's been several discussions, and that's why I had asked Greg Klaus earlier on the fourth stimulus package, because that is discussed with regard to infrastructure, and we want to position ourselves to take advantage of any new monies that become available through the stimulus that may go through federal or state levels.
I can say just a few words real quickly on behalf of, I'm sorry, didn't mean to barge in there. This is Todd Needleman again with East Skokie Drainage District. We rely mostly on the annual assessment that we extend to the various communities. So as far as our funding source, I would say, at least for phase one, we are mostly, if not close to mostly funded for that project. So the COVID is going to have little to no effect on that first phase in Lake Forest. And then, to be honest with you, it's not so much, we have to be creative in terms of how we source grants and how we try to look for money. That's most of what we do behind the scenes, is trying to line up these funding sources in grants. Because it's just all about money in terms of paying for these projects. But we work hard to do it. And like I said, phase one should be on target.
That's great news. Thank you. Any other questions from residents?
Hello, this is Mary Beth Arzak one more time. At one point I had taken a look at the Highland Park budget for the 10 years, and I understand priorities have to be set
I was not able to see any projects to support the trailway area and was wondering if there's opportunity to revisit the amount budgeted or projects as they become identified in our area.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary, for that question. Yeah, as the mayor and the manager indicated, you know, we each year as part of our capital program, you're correct. We have a plan set out for the next 10 years, but sometimes the projects are pre-prioritized. And for Trailway specifically, the one I just mentioned about the backflow preventer. So we, that is one of the, you know, one of the projects that that'll help for a low rain event. So we are looking to perform that study this year and then plan to budget that project that is specifically for the Highlands area. And also, I think as Commissioner Needleman mentioned, they did have the trail or the Skokie River cleaned up north of Half Day. That helps with the conveyance of the water. And also as the water keeps going south towards Country Club and then keeps going south towards Taylor Perennial, we are also clearing those areas. So overall, the conveyance, we are able to provide some conveyance. In addition, at Trailway, in those areas on the sanitary sewer side, we have lined a lot of the sanitary sewer. So lining those sanitary lines helps, provides some relief with the basement backups through your sewer lateral. So city as a whole, within the Highlands area, and most of the projects, one of the reasons why you're not seeing any of the projects, because those were identified in the initial 1990 master plan, and city has done numerous projects in that Highlands area to upsize the storm sewers and most of the area. And as you know—
So Ramesh, many people in the Trailway area have expressed to me that they are very interested in the backflow preventers. May we ask that we be included in the study for to evaluate potential benefit in our neighborhood? We really have been hit incredibly hard, and it's emotional and difficult for us to hear that we're, you know, not as much a priority as other people. We know everybody's important, but we would like to be considered for some of these backflow prevention studies as well.
Absolutely. You know, we, you know, as I have your email, I just saw you that you replied. So, you know, yeah, you know, we'll gladly share you the report as we look at it objectively. And again, and some of the work that we're going to work with Army Corps and the SMC and also again the state representatives here is to provide those overall benefit. And I think we are looking now, as you heard, the regional solution takes time, takes a lot of effort. So we are looking at some targeted approach to provide that immediate relief. And Mary, also please understand that, you know, the Trailway area and those areas, as mentioned before, those are all in the floodplain area. So providing relief for a floodplain properties takes that regional effort because it has to be done, as Kurt mentioned, upstream and downstream with numerous storage areas to take the water away from overtopping. So the ones that we are going to provide, we're going to provide more targeted, and that is our approach to at least provide that interim relief or on at least a low rain event immediate relief.
Thank you.
Mayor, there is a question that came in. It's pertaining to the home buyout program, the decisions that have been made as to what will be done with the property, specifically Briargate Drive. So Ramesh, can you elaborate a little bit on the buyout?
So as mentioned before, that homeowner right. So the plan is that once SMC again coordinates with whichever is the funding agency on closing a project, and then they will work on demolishing that building, and then basically providing with a layer of grass on that surface, then the ownership will be given to the city, and city will maintain it in that regard with a covenant on that land saying that no more development can happen on that property. So again, the buyout is a 2 to 4 year program. It's not a short term because we have to work with the agencies, but once the closing happens within months, the demolition will happen, and then the restoration will take place right after, and then it'll remain maintained as a grassy area.
Any other questions from the group who have joined us this evening or via email?
This is Rosemary Spirigana from Highland Park. I just wanted to understand why these houses in the Highlands were built in 1960, early 60s, and they were always in the floodplain. So why are we last on the list? I still don't understand that.
Last on the list for what?
Ramesh just was saying to the other woman that because we're in a floodplain, those, what were they, gates, some type of gates. So
the backflow?
Yeah. Well, the water comes up from the drains every time it's connected to the creek on our street.
Right.
So all the water, anytime the creek overflows, it backs up into our street. So is that what you're talking about? It would stop that?
Right. That is correct, Rosemary. It will stop on the, what I'm saying is it'll stop on the low rain event. That means when you get a normal rain event, once the creek starts rising and it goes above that backflow preventer, then it's going to be like normal flooding. So the backflow does not provide that 100% floodplain relief. It only provides what we call is a low volume. As the creek is rising, initial rise, it'll stop the water. But if it keeps rising, as the water from upstream keeps coming downstream, as the water keeps coming, it'll overtop that backflow preventer and then overtop the bank. The top of the bank and the trailway, roadway elevation are kind of like pretty much at the same elevation. So the floodplain, for trailway area and also like Taylor Perennial, Tanglewood, those are all at the flood elevation, what we call is like the 100-year flood elevation. The roadway itself is. Some of the houses are built up, but the roadway elevation is the same elevation. So to provide a comprehensive solution, as SMC mentioned, if you have 5 or 6 deep basins upstream to hold that water, when you get a 100-year rain event, so when you get like 8 inches of rain over 24 hours, if you're able to hold 6 inches of water in those basins upstream, or you're buying out some properties and you're creating these pervious areas, that is like the ultimate solution that to provide that relief. And again, it's all urbanized and we are at the downstream end.
Well, I have one suggestion. There's a lot of park district land there along that creek, and there's a lot of land that nobody ever uses. They have an additional parking, huge parking area, and a lot of land where there's trees and stuff by the ice skating ring, and that's never used. I would love to see that used as a for water, flood retention or water. Especially, I've been walking down there every day now, so I've been thinking about it.
So Ramesh, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in for a second. So we had the Army Corps of Engineers take a look at what was feasible using the land just directly in your neighborhood. And the bottom line was the cost of doing that project was going to be many, many millions of dollars with no real impact on the flooding situation. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Gita and I were out there a few weeks ago, and I was looking at the creek and I was looking at the pipe that's supposed to flow into the creek. And I said, that's insane. If this thing starts to rise at all, the water's just coming back up onto the streets. And we know that whoever planned your subdevelopment clearly thought that was okay. And so they built the houses up and they made the roads basically be the overflow for the creek, which to me, I can't understand
how anybody planning
thought that was a great idea. Exactly. So to kind of circle back to where we started this conversation, th- this is, as we know from 6 months ago and today, and we're going to reschedule this meeting again in a few months to make sure we continue to keep everyone's feet to the fire, but it is a regional problem. And so to Ramesh's point, you know, you and I could ask them to dig out behind Centennial. They could dig out the whole old Highland Park Country Club. They could dig out Sleepy Hollow. The amount of water that's coming from the north is so voluminous and at times is so swift in its downpour, that's not going to make a difference. And all the money in the world, which we don't have, which we're looking to the federal government for at this point, who knows what's going to happen there. It's a frustrating situation. So I don't want to end this meeting with all these people on this note of me going, see you in 6 months, fingers crossed. But at this point, we need to continue to put the pressure on all these different levels of government. The county is doing a phenomenal job with their engineers, and they're really getting into the granular pieces of what needs to be done with making sure that the banks aren't eroding and making sure that they're slowing down the flow of water and finding those places where they can start to pick up the water further north. And then, you know, we've got the state trying to help us out with the capital funding, and obviously the federal government and our members of Congress and our senators also are talking about the funding. It's very dismaying that we are at this point. And I'll tell you, every single time it rains, I am wide awake. I am thinking about your names and I am driving back and forth going, ah, don't overflow. I mean, it's just nonstop concern on all of our parts. Yes. I don't know if that's a lot of comfort. Every time it's freezing out and it snows, I'm like, fabulous. Another day it didn't rain in the Highlands. So
yes, the rain is always stress level for us.
It is for all of us, for absolutely all of us. And you know, Ramesh and Gita and I text each other constantly. Has it overtopped yet? I mean, it's just driving us all crazy. So I guess I'll use this opportunity to thank the 65 plus people who have been part of this meeting tonight. And most particularly those who are living and breathing this both personally and professionally, and ask that we circle back either in 4 months or 6 months and see where we are. God willing, we're all still here and able to move forward and back to our lives. But I appreciate that we're continuing to try to move this ball forward. As you stated, it's been a problem about 60 years in the making. It's only seeming more intense because of these more intense rain experiences that we're having, but I think we're all trying to get to the same place. And I'm taking comfort in what Mike Warner and Kurt Wolford have told us about their success stories further upstream. So hopefully we can get some of those projects moving forward further south. And as I said, I'm continuing to pound on the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning that Lake County needs help with flood mitigation. So I just want to thank everybody. It is past 8:30. I know Gita and I have been on these calls since 8 this morning, and just want to thank everybody for all of their help.
Want to make sure that you guys know that the phone numbers were wrong.
We know that, and we apologize for that. That was a bit of a last minute snafu, because what's more fun than 65 people trying to get on a call that doesn't work? So I'm sorry about that, and we'll certainly make sure that doesn't happen going forward. If people have thoughts or questions or comments after we sign off, if they could send them to publicworks@cityhpil.com, we will circle back and obviously are always available and will certainly stay in touch throughout the next few weeks and months, but I do want us to schedule another meeting. So we will be in touch with everybody and we will make sure the link works, but maybe we'll be meeting in person. Who knows? Yeah.
Mayor, if I can request, I know Village of Deerfield have been very patient. So I know they had one item that they wanted to bring. So Kent.
Thank you for your patience, Kent.
You are more than welcome and thank you for organizing this meeting. We are, I want to say, uniquely beneficial in from the activities of the 80s. We had nasty floods in the 80s, and two basins were built as a direct result, one on Lake Cook Road and one north in Bannockburn. And I will tell you, every time it rains, we watch that level. So you're pursuing the right things. You got to get upstream storage. And I think we would like to at our next meeting kind of explore. We've engaged a consulting engineer for a comprehensive stormwater management plan too. So maybe we can give you guys an update on what we're looking at, and know that our eyes are always peeled for properties that might help in this regard. So we'll keep a keen eye out for that too, and appreciate all the efforts that you guys are doing. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to call this meeting, and I just ask everyone, stay home, stay safe, be well, wash your hands, take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.